A cheerful heart has a continual feast. The writer isn't just talking about cosmetic arrangements, you know, trying to look cheerful when you feel utterly downcast. There's no real joy in that. And it's such a difficult task to put your face on. You know, Eleanor Rigby had a face in the jar by the door. What was it for? It was to put on when she went out. But she may have carried a deeply sad heart, a troubled heart. And so we're not talking about simply trying your best to look cheerful when you're falling apart inside. It comes from the heart. This gladness of countenance, this joy of the Lord, comes from the Lord who is enthroned in our hearts. It comes from the fact that we have shifted the central basis of our lives from self to Christ. And now, since he rules and reigns within, see, he is the Lord of our lives. Well, that's got to affect how we look, hasn't it? Got to affect our countenance so that it becomes for us a continual feast. They ate their food with gladness as they lived out their faith. We read in Acts, they lived out their faith, they fulfilled their calling, they pursued their mission, and there was gladness in everyday things, eating their food with joy. There was a constant joy that bubbled up because they were living out their faith in a very real and dynamic way. Since Christ was no longer with them literally, he was with them by the Spirit, and they were conscious of his presence, they were conscious of doing his will every day, and there was joy in that, that seemed like a continual feast, and so it does for us when we get that right, when that becomes real and relevant in our own lives. So it comes from within. So we're not talking about something that's just simply cosmetic, that we try to look cheerful when things are hard and tough and difficult and struggle to do so. We need something else, something that touches the depth of our heart. We need to know the presence of the living God within and the power of Christ to change us. It may be a slow process from one degree of glory to another, incremental change that takes place by the presence and power of the Holy Spirit, but it brings about an increasing joy which is revealed in our faces, in our demeanor, in the people that we are, in the lives that we live, and in our appearance too. I've been doing Facebook for 10 years, I discovered the other day when I was looking back. 10 years, well, that's 10 years I'm never going to get back, isn't it? I must say, I actually quite like it. And I'm not the only one that does it, by the way, in this church. Caroline posted this the other day. And it's this. A person who has good thoughts cannot ever be ugly. You can have a wonky nose or a crooked mouth and a double chin and sticking out teeth. But if you have good thoughts, it will shine out of your face like sunbeams and you will always look lovely. Do you know who wrote that? You know who wrote that, don't you, Caroline? So much for Facebook. It was Roald Dahl. It was one of his sayings. Do you know, real beauty comes from within, doesn't it? It's the beauty of character. It's the beauty of God. It's the beauty of holiness. It comes from within. And W.E. Sangster, who was a wonderful Methodist minister in Westminster Central Hall, on one occasion that made that one of the themes of his sermons. And he talked about true beauty. And he was dismissive of beauty pageants and beauty queens. True beauty is the beauty of holiness, he said. And there was a woman in his church that he writes about who was definitely not beautiful by the description he gave. She had the sticky out teeth and permanently bad hair and poor skin and double chin and all of that. But he said she was the most beautiful person you could ever wish to meet because the beauty of the Lord shone out of her. It was on her face. It was on her countenance. It was expressed in her demeanor. There's something so wonderful about that. It's a kind of sacrament, isn't it? A sacrament is defined as the inward and spiritual experience of the outward and visible grace, the inward and spiritual sign of the outward and visible grace. So inward and spiritual can't be seen, but out of that something wonderful can be seen and becomes obvious by the person that you are, by the expression on your face, and by the whole demeanour of your life. Doesn't always happen, does it? Be honest. Now, we have to be honest. We don't always look joyous, and we don't always look like the people who make an impression on others and say, wow, she's so wonderful. She's always, always radiant. We're not always like that, are we? But it's possible. It's possible. I went to church as a child. We moved from the northeast to Wakefield in Yorkshire. And so my parents, the first priority was find a church that was near enough to where we lived so we could walk there if we needed to. Although we usually turned up and my dad's clapped out Ford Popular, which he was very proud. And the church was an old-style, nonconformist Baptist chapel with a raised pulpit. You went up the steps to the pulpit, a balcony, and just below the pulpit there was a table with two chairs. One chair was where the pastor, the minister, Albert Mellers, sat, and the other was where Norman Hibbert, the elder, sat. So Albert was there and Norman was there. And Albert was always cheerful, always had a radiant smile, and he was a wonderful preacher. So they tell me. I usually fell asleep because he rarely preached for less than 45 minutes. And I don't remember any of his sermons. I just remember losing the will to live, you know, as a 12-year-old. But Norman, oh, he had a face like thunder always. And he sat there, right at the front of church. What an advert for misery he was. Like a person with a cloud permanently above his head all the time. And a scowl on his face. He had a wonderful dimpled chin, but he had this permanent scowl on his face. And people used to say, I wish Norman would cheer up. But he never did. And when it came round to a Valentine's Day, one of the young people decided on a course of action to help Norman to face his face. And so he sent him anonymously a Valentine's card. The verse that he made up was, of all the people as miserable as sin, you're the king with your dimpled chin. Norman did not get the joke. He brought the card to church in a fury. And we had quite a crowd of young people. He gathered all the young people together and demanded to know who had the effrontery to send him this wicked and terrible accusation about how his appearance was. And it was like at school. Do you remember those occasions when the teacher said, nobody's leaving until the person who's done this thing owns up. Nobody. It was a bit like that. And finally, the young man who had done it owned up and received a terrible dressing down. What a thing. What a thing. He was not really at fault. He was trying to joke, you know, to kind of get Norman to cheer up. Norman didn't cheer up. He continued to be miserable. Tried to make, and succeeded often in making others miserable too. See, he was never a great advert. He didn't quite fit into this category. I don't think he'd ever read the book of Proverbs here in chapter 15 about the cheerful countenance, the glad, expressive face. It is so important, isn't it? It is important not to kind of try to work up something artificial, but to live in God so that affects who we are and how we look and how we appear to others and how we engage with others, because our lives are so deeply rooted in God. Everything else is affected by that. We used to have a lecturer when I was at Bible college called Alfred Webb, who pioneered a church in Dagenham and built a strong church there. And I remember him saying, when he was a visiting lecturer, he came on one occasion and he said there were two things that he wanted to be in life, either a minister or a person who stands at the door to welcome people into church. Those are the only two ambitions he had. Well, he became the minister, but he always felt that that was such an important job in the church, to smilingly, encouragingly welcome people in to the fellowship of the church, So that you step through the door and you see a wonderfully warm smile. Well, we've got lovely people to do that all the time. Every Sunday morning, you will receive a warm, sunlit welcome as you step through the doors of St. Mary's Church, and so will everybody. It's so important, isn't it? It's so important. So, here's the thing. Let's keep smiling. Keep smiling. Even when you... Particularly when you feel like it, but maybe even when you don't feel like it. But let something bubble up from within. As we apply ourselves to the means of grace, we're encouraged by the Word of God. We continue to have this ongoing conversation with God the Holy Spirit, who touches our lives and transforms us and deepens our faith and our understanding, so that we're not a people who just endeavor to try to look cheerful, but something of God shines upon our face. May the radiance of the light of Christ be upon us. Touch our lives in such a way that our lives touch others, in Jesus' name. Amen.